All cats, pashas, matas, masi.
Ready? Good morning. Back to the basics. Let's learn Aleph Beis again. It's a long time since you learned Aleph Beis in school. No? Many years? Sorry? So let's learn Aleph Beis again. And the Gemara says, Aleph Beis. What does the Gemara say? Aleph Beis. Aleph Bina means you have to learn Torah. That's right. Aleph Bina. Aleph means to learn Torah. Number one job in life, if you want to get anywhere, is you have to learn Torah. So says the Gemara. So Beis is Binyan, to build. Bina is Lahavin Davar Mitoch Davar. Because it's okay to have bricks, individual bricks, but you can't build a building out of them because they'll fall apart. It's how you connect them and seeing the relationship between things. So it's a deeper level of understanding. So number one, Aleph Bina, it's our job to learn Torah, to become wise in the ways of Torah. What's next? Gimel Dalet, Gemoel Dalim. Isn't that a chiddush all by itself? So far, how many chiddushim are there? How many chidushim is it? Have you heard so far in Aleph Beis? Sorry?
Two.
Which two chidushim?
Aleph Bina.
Well, Aleph Bina, I would learn Torah. I would, I would say it's poshut. We're all brought up that way. No, is that okay? It's poshut. But there's something that's not said yet that is going to be said soon that I would have put first. What's that? So there's something missing. What comes before everything? Hashem. Hey Vav, Zeshmo Yishla Kodesh Baruch Hu. I would have put that first. Hey Vav, Aleph Beis. And the next chiddush we learned over here is that once you've learned Torah, what's the outcome? What's the conclusion of learning Torah? Gimel Dalet, Gemoel Dalim. Or rather, Gemoel Dalim comes after having learned Torah. Before you learn Torah, you won't be able to do Gimel Dalet, won't be a natural conclusion. But once you've learned Torah, the Hemshech, the natural conclusion of Torah, the next step is Gemoel Dalim. It's a very interesting sugya already. So we see, number one, that to come to Hashem, nobody comes to Hashem just like that. Philosophers, scientists, nobody comes to Hashem without the correct tools. That the Torah and Esek HaTorah and understanding the Torah and learning about Hashem through the Torah, that we can hear already. But Gimel Dalet, Gemoel Dalim, as a prerequisite, and why is Torah, does that lead to Gemel Chasodim? It's an interesting thing. Very interesting thing that should lead to Heivav, lead to an understanding of Hashem through this. Very interesting. So I share with you over here something that an idea of Rav Huttner, a very, very interesting idea, which will perhaps put this into some perspective, to give us some idea. And we know the Gemara says, Torah tchilos gemilas chasodim v'sofer gemilas chasodim, that the whole, everything in the Torah is one big act of gemilas chasodim. In fact, the Torah itself is an act of gemilas chasodim, that Hashem sort of came down to us and gave us the opportunity, taught us, gives us the insight, that is in itself an act of Gemilas Chasodim. But the whole of the Torah, Mitchilos V'ad Sofai, is woven with Gemilas Chasodim, so much so that if a person has learned lots of Torah and it's not produced Gemilas Chasodim in them, they're not now Goyim Les Chasodim, perhaps they missed something. They may have missed Ikar Chosim in HaSefer. But Rav Huttner gives it a deeper understanding. And he says this, that there are many middos, many different qualities of Hashem that are expressed in the Torah and in the world, But Gemilas Chasodim is different to all of them in one really important respect. How is Gemilas Chasodim different to, say, for example, Chem, Mishpat, Emes, Rachamim, the Slicha, Kapora, all these other Midas of Hashem? Gemilas Chasodim is different in a very, very fundamental way. Can you think of why it might be different to any other Midah? All other Midas that we look in the world, we learn about Hashem, we look in the Torah, we learn about Hashem, but Gemilas Chasodim stands apart. Why is it so different? Sorry? Okay, let's see if we can work this out. Where do we learn all the Midas of Hashem? Where do we see them expressed? We see them expressed in two places: the Torah and the world. But what is it that brought the whole world into existence in the first place? Which Midah brought the world into existence? Gemilas Chasodim. So Gemilas Chasodim isn't one of the many attributes of Hashem which we see in the world. It is the Midah that brought the world into existence. Without Gemilas Chesed, there would be no world to start with. That's the meaning, Olam Chesed Yibone. The whole world was originally built, and it came about because of this. So Chesed therefore stands as the building block, the foundation of the creation of the whole world. And therefore, when Avraham Avinu, it says that he looked at the Bira, he looked at this great, beautiful building. And Be'etzem it's a Dover Poshet. It's so Poshet, it's hard to understand how people cannot see it, other than the Krumkite of human nature, to see that a Bira, a building, has an architect, has a designer. It's almost a Dover Poshet, so Poshet that it's Nifla, it's a nest that people can deny it. But when it says he looked at the Bira and he came to Hashem, what specifically did he see? Vade, he saw the chesed in the whole world. He saw the overflow, the abundance of chesed that someone has thought about doing to the Bria, to us, to people. And through that he came to recognize Hashem. So therefore, Rav Huna says, in the same way as the world was built with chesed, our world is also built with chesed. Our ruchnius, our spiritual world, our connection to Hashem is built on chesed. So it's built on two things. It's built on Torah, and it's also built on chesed, much like the world itself is built on Torah and chesed. Istakel boi raiso bar alma, the world is built out of the Torah, but it's also built on chesed. So our own world, therefore, is aleph beis, then gimel dalad, and it's only then that a person can come to really see Hashem, feel Hashem, experience the connection of Hashem to the world, when you yourself do chesed like Hashem does. You therefore have an neshama that is capable of experiencing Hashem in a very, very real way. And that's the Gimel Dalet, Gimel Dalim. Lots of very, very beautiful things. Gemara says them. But do you know what the biggest chiddush the Gemara says? To me, this was the biggest chiddush, is what the Gemara says. Why is it that the leg, if you look at the letter, sometimes the letters of the Aleph Beis, the image is a tsura. The tsuras are bediktuk. So if you were to draw a stick image, a stick man, you know, not 3D, just a stick man of a man walking or running, what would it look like? A gimel. That's what it looked like. You got the two legs, one this way, one that way. The hands are not important in this because that's not the ikkah, it's the raglayim. So the image of the letter gimel gives the impression of somebody who's running. And the Gemara asked, why is it that the leg of the Gimel is facing forwards towards the Dalad? And the answer the Gemara says is, because Shekein Darko Shel Goyim El Chesed, Goyim Le Chasodim, Lorutz Achadalim. If you are a Goyim El Chesed, you do not wait for people to come to you. You go and find them, like Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't sit at home waiting, he went to find them. Why did he always put his tent right near people, right on the crossroads, right there? Why didn't he live further out in the country, down a big driveway with a big gate in front? He wanted people, he wanted to find them. He wanted to be available, so he put himself right where people were. And when Sodom was destroyed, there's no people there anymore. So he went to find more people. And he found the next busiest place you could, the junction of the M1 and the North Circular, millions of people passing by. And he set up shop right over there. I want to find them. And then when they weren't coming, he went out to find them more. So therefore, a goyim el chesed is not someone who does chesed when it comes. It came to me, therefore I'll do a chesed now. It's the person who goes out to find an opportunity to do an act of chesed, to do chesed, to find a way of doing it. Very, very interesting. The Gemara says this. The Gemara also says, why does the Dalet face away from the Gimel? It's away from the Gimel. It's Gimel Dalet. Why is it facing away? The Gimel faces to the Dalet. The Dalet faces away from him. You know what? Yes, you shouldn't be embarrassed. You should do it mitzino. You shouldn't. You should spare the person the shame. Fine. That's it. And then comes the name of Hashem. What an interesting thing! You want to do chesed? You have to go find it. That's the mark of a goyim chesed who goes out of their way to find an. Doesn't wait for it to come. Interesting thing. What's the letter Gimel? What does it sound like? What other word is Gimel? Gomel. Which in English is exactly? Camel. It's the same word. Do you know that, that it's an interesting thing that in English there are many, many, many words in English that are precisely Loshon HaKodesh. And I just wonder if, I'm making it up. Or it's actually, is there some relationship between them, whether it's specifically English or it's in other languages as well? They all stem from the same Mikar. But it's interesting to notice, I don't know other languages, but I know that in English there's a lot of them. And it's not just, I was talking, you know Mr. Wilner in Prestwich? Mr. Wilner, he should be gesund. If you can pop in to visit him, I'm sure he'd be very grateful. We were talking about this on many occasions. So the word love. Lamed Aleph Hey Beis, Lahav, love is the same word. The word sorrow, tsara, tsara is sorrow. Do you know fruit? Pei Reish Vav Tov, fruit. Fruit, Pei Reish. Sorry?
Therapy,
yes, yes. So it's interesting, fruit. And there are many others. He suggested to me, he says that he has this on good authority, Britannia, rule Britannia, Britannia rule the waves. Because until not so long ago, Britain was renowned for its powerful navy. They did rule the waves. They were an awesome navy. They weren't so good on the army until whenever, but the navy was the British navy, ruled, conquered the world. Britannia! Where does Britannia come from? Why not rule Britain or rule England, United Kingdom? What's Britannia? So he suggested it comes from Boris Onia. Onia is a ship. Britannia, because they have a covenant. England is an island nation, has a covenant with ships. We have to. I say I don't have a makor and mafurish for this, but it does. It's interesting. Okay, so I'll tell you. We'll come back to this point in a minute. I had a thought yesterday on Shabbos. I was thinking about this, and I had a thought of another relationship between the Loshon HaKodesh and the English language. By the way, I'll tell you a chiddush nifla, which I haven't seen the Mekar inside, and just while I was telling you what he said. He said to me, he saw Mefurish in the Yalkut Me'am Loyes, B'Shem Rashi, and he gave the Sefer away to a Rav who asked him for it specifically, for this, so I don't know where it is, but if you can learn the Yalkut Me'am Loyes on Eicha, on Tisha B'Av, and you can find this, then you'll share the Makara with everyone. Where it says Mefurish that Titus, when he destroyed Bais Sheni, so you know that the Roman army was an international army, right? They had legions from all nations, from all over the world. It was an international army. And it was specifically British mercenaries who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it says in Yalkut Me'am Loyes B'Shem Rashi. He says it to me. He says he had the page number written down, but he gave the safe away so he couldn't show it to me in the first. But interesting. Very interesting thing. The relationship between the British and the Jews goes back a long, long time. Anyway, let's come back to this in a minute. So what's Gomel? Goymel Chesed. Goymel Chesed is something to do with a camel. So this is a vort I heard years ago from Rabbi Silva. Of seed, and I heard recently again from Rabbi Hartman in London a very beautiful idea. It shows the diktuk of the Loshon HaKodesh, where the words are not stam, the words are very, very meaningful. What's the chiddush of the camel, the gomel? What's its big chiddush? Sorry? Yes, it's got a hump and it can absorb water. It stores it in the fat. Like a big, it's like a big sponge. It's like a massive sponge. And that big, big sponge absorbs all the water. And it can go for how many days across the deserts? Yeah. 10 days straight from what for walk 10 days in the desert without a drop of water, and that allows it. So what does that allow it to be to do? What does this allow the camel to do that otherwise it would be impossible to do? Survive to be. Let's give it another English word to be. Start with I.
Independent.
It allows it to be independent, because otherwise it would we could not travel away from a water source. We could not travel away from a well. We couldn't travel away from a city, because we're tied to it. We couldn't go that distance. You couldn't even take one bottle of water. So its ability, the chiddush of the camel is it is independent. Now the word gomal has another meaning. What's the other meaning of gomel, not camel, but two? Yeah, a yoinek, a young baby. Because gomel, it's weaned off its mother. So what's the meaning of that now? What's the meaning it's weaned off? It becomes independent, right? It's come to the stage where it's not dependent on the mother. It can sort of go manage without it. It's you get pushed off. It can manage without. So therefore, gemilas chasodim means the biggest form. What's the height of gemilas chasodim? Is to make someone independent. It's not that they should keep coming back to you, but if you can find a way to stand the person on their own feet, gomel, to give them their independence, that's the greatest form of gemilas chasodim. And therefore, goyim lechasodim are the ones who run out to look for to do chesed. They look for it, doesn't wait for it to come, and they also look to help people become independent of their chesed. I don't want you to be coming back. Beautiful idea. I heard it from several sources. I don't know where the original makor is, but there must be an original makor for it. So why is that? What's that got to do with English? Think of gimel dalad in English. Think of those two letters in the English language. Where do you have? Yes, God. I wonder if God, G-D, is Gimel Dalim. Because Hashem is the ultimate Gimel Dalim. He gives us our life. He gives us our ability to be independent. I wonder. It's speculation. And what's the other word that's very similar? Very, very similar in English. Good. Good. G-D. Gimel Dalim. Gimel Dalet. That the ultimate good is Gimel Dalim. I'm speculating, okay? I have no makar for it, and if somebody wants to come and tell me that there's a makar, that there is, this relationship is known, I'd be very happy. And if you can tell me the opposite is true as well, I'll also be happy. If I'm wrong, and if I'm being Dairish, Droshus shall have I, then please, you can correct me. But I think there is such a relationship. And I think at least the people of the old, in the classical times, had an appreciation for language, and they understood the value of words, and they understood the value of Lashon HaKodesh as well. Once it used to be, Latin, Greek, and Hebrew were the three classical languages, the three founding languages of civilization. And I believe once upon a time people did appreciate that, going back in history, and that there is, as you say, the Shivam Loshan have one source, and you find that an overlap. It seems to me there is such a thing. Why is this relevant now? Because we're in the times of Sinah. Sinas Chinam. And the Sforim say, how, if you dislike another person, what's the best way to come to overcome the Sinah? Do chesed to them. Do chesed, you like them. So where's the makor for this in the Torah? Where's the makor in the Torah that if you dislike somebody, so you should do chesed with them? And then it'll be, you know, where's the makor for that? In? Yes, it is. Which specifically? Ozev Tazov, yes. So the halacha that you have an oihev and a soine. A soine is a litoin, and oihev is lifroik. So you would have thought, number one, mitzad it's your oihev, and mitzad it's sab al chayim. Because it's already loaded, it's hurting. Nevertheless, halacha is you go to the soine, because kvish sayetza, and the sforim will say, if you want to like someone, you have to do chesed with them. Why do you have to do chesed with them? What's the idea behind it? Well, what's the idea? If I do chesed, I'll come to like you. What's the secret there? Is there some psychology? Is there some soid? What's the reason when I do chesed with someone, I'll come to like them? Why is it? Sorry? Kamayim ponim el ponim. Yes, could be. It's true, it's definitely true. Where you radiate a certain emotion towards people, they'll naturally respond to it. So you radiate, I like you, you think in your mind, I like you, and you put that in your emotion. It'll reflect itself. There's a slightly deeper, I don't know if it's deeper, but there's another angle to this, which is also very true, and the Bali Musa say the same thing, and that is this. The one thing we love in the world above all else is what? Ourself. We love ourselves more than anything else. Everything to do with ourselves, we're more in love with it. When somebody shows you a picture of a family simcha, where do your eyes locate precisely where you are, and you want to know what you look like? Because it's all, we're in love with ourselves. Whatever the word is. Yeah, we love ourselves. So when I invest in somebody else, what am I doing, say the Bali Musa? I'm putting myself into that person. I'm giving something of myself into that person. And now I love myself. I love myself that is in that person. I've invested in this person. I've done something for this person. I love myself. So I love that person now. So it's a slightly less than kamayim aponim elponim. It's a different way, but it's also true. That which we love of ourselves and we invest into other people, that's why we love. The ability to love others is built on that which we love ourselves. It's a slightly different idea, and therefore in the months of Sinas Chinam, we have to do our very best to find ways of doing chesed. What is one of the easiest, cheapest, most effective ways of doing chesed? You know, we live in times of great hester upon him. Mami, terrible hester upon him. You agree? Why do you see the hester upon him? Sorry?
Can't see it.
Where do you notice the effects of hester upon him? Where do you see, feel, where do we feel the effects of the great hester upon him that we live in? Well, I leave you to think about that. Everyone can list in their own ways all sorts of tzoros, tzoruros that are a result of hester ponim. I'll tell you another more important form of hester ponim that afflicts us all, and that is literally we're hiding our faces behind this. Right? We've lost the art of the human face. The technology, there's not a rant about schmutz on technology, whatever it is. This is just a poshut. People have lost the art of the face. Ponim el ponim, the Torah says, kasher yidabe yishal re'ehu. The human communication was always meant to be done and is best done with a face. I say cynically that it's an attempt to emulate Hashem. All this, you see people always walking around, even driving, Rahman al Itzlan, we see people driving like this. Have you ever seen it? Just stand by the roadside outside for a half an hour, you'll see a half a dozen people driving either with this somewhere over here. So I suggest it's an attempt to be the Hevei Doimel, to be like Hashem. Hashem lives me'achari ha'paragoid, behind the screen. We're all trying to live behind the screen. But the art of smiling at another person and showing your face is something which we've lost. The art of speaking to another person we've lost. It's all about the text. Just text, text, text. You can't communicate effectively with people in text or email. Even just how to speak. How to say good morning, please, thank you. To speak like a mensch. To be sensitive with the words you say. To put a smile on your face. To reflect an emotion to another person is lost. Is very, very, very lost, and so it is. It's the hest upon him that we have inflicted on ourselves, and the more we can rid ourselves of this for good periods of the day, people should do their best to learn not to have to have a screen on them all the time. Even if you need it for whatever it is, it's not a hack against technology. It's just a posture thing that the whole world now knows. Everybody in the world now knows that smartphone technology is addictive. It's made to be addictive. And it's designed with the sound, color, shape that it should attract your eye. It should keep your mind, your eyes. Dopamine, it gives you a dopamine rush every time you hear a bling or a zing or a buzz. It's a proper addiction. It's like a drug. Posh it, posh it. I saw recently that the biggest enabler of this addiction is the scroll down. Just the endless scroll, the eternal scroll down. Not you have to click a button to go to the next page, but that you can just scroll eternally, and it will always fill up a screen with something is part of the design of the addictiveness of it. And that is hest upon him. You will sit on a train or a bus or in a car, and or even just look at people walking down the street, and everyone's hiding behind a screen. Go to school where people are coming to fetch their children. How many people don't have this over here like this? Chas v'shalom, I should not hear the whistle when it goes. And check, oh, have I not received a buzz yet? Why not? Boom, boom, boom. And your child's coming out of school now. Why don't you put a nice huge smile on your face and stand and beam a smile at your child? And so it is at home, supper time, in my pocket, in the middle of shir. I gave a shir somewhere once for a while, a certain chabura. There was one young man, may he be blessed, and he came every time he walked into the shir, he sat down, pulled out his smartphone, and sat like this through the whole shir. Now, unless the person's on Hatzolah, it doesn't have to happen every time. And the addictiveness is such that people can't even put it out their pocket. Can you come to shul, even if it's on silent, can you actually leave it in the car? Are you able to come home for supper and spend an evening, actually leave it in the glove compartment in the car, don't even bring it in the house or in the shul? People are capable of doing that? No, it's got to at least be in my pocket. I can't even put it down. But this is a posh dezach. It's nothing to do with the Yiddishkeit problem, Shaboy. It's all to do with the hest upon him, where we've lost our sense of being connected to real human beings, to relate to human beings, to shine a face on another person, to express an emotion to another person, to say hello, it's nice to see you, to have a meaningful conversation of any sort in a personal way. Ponim el ponim, kashi idabe shol re'eyu. And the greatest, the most cheap, I don't know if it's the greatest, but the cheapest and most readily available act of Gemilas Chesed for all people is having Mekabelis Kolodim Besever with thought, ponim, with a face. Not like this. Not even like peeping over the top of it. But with a full face, with the full attention of that face. And to notice another person, and to smile at them, and to engage with that person. So there's Gemilas Chesedim. We have to unhide our faces and learn to do Chesed in that way. Let's take this the idea, this thought of Gemilas Chesedim a little bit further. I was pondering last night. I have no thoughts on the subject. Why it is Chodesh Av is the Chodesh of Churban? Av is Binyan, isn't it? Av is Binyan, and yet it's the Chodesh of Churban. I don't know. I don't know. I ask it as if I was American. If I had an American accent, I'd say it's an obvious question. Come on, that was worth a better groan than that. Come on, you need to groan a bit. Okay, but where there is... Yes. An Av is because he's a Boiner. Binyan Av. The father is the builder. Okay? So Av means Binyan. So why it's the Chodesh of Churban, I don't have a clear thought. It just occurred to me, but if it is the Chodesh of Aleph Beis, then Gimel Dalet surely is not far behind. And where there is Binyan, there's Gemilas Chesedim as well. So it's also got to be to do with Gemilas Chesedim. That's just a very superficial thought with no mekor, no depth, no understanding, but it occurred to me that there must be something over there. Let's turn our attention. Sorry.
Show that he's having something even when he does that.
It could be. It occurred to me maybe that Churban is often the prerequisite of Binyan. Sometimes realizing that something is not and is the first step towards Binyan. The Sforim say, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, the Baal Teshuvah, that Teshuvah which we do through our lives, the Rabbeinu Yonah emphasizes on several occasions that the first step of Teshuvah is number one, to know that you're not right. Even if a person is sliding downhill, but they've got their face they're at least not facing downhill, they're facing uphill as they slide backwards, but they realize they're sliding backwards. That is already a very profound step towards a proper teshuva. So it could be Av, where there's a total churban, and we realize that what we have been doing is built on a bad foundation, is completely rotten, and now we have to start again. That's already the Av, that's already the first step towards rebuilding, towards building something better. So it could be there's an idea that I don't know. Yes, that's right. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that. This I said last year, a year and a half ago, but it's okay. In a year and a half break, it's allowed to say it again. Yes. So the first thing in Chesed, the Ikka foundation of Chesed, this Reb Shlomo Volbe says, the first foundation of all Chesed is what? What's the founding stone without which no real Chesed will ever be done? It is? Sorry? No? Well, I see what you mean. I would say no like that. I see what you mean. You mean that if I didn't feel for somebody, I wouldn't want to do Chesed for them. It's, yes, fair enough. But Rachamim and Chesed are distinct in many ways. So Rav Shlomo Volbe says the first thing is to understand what the other person really, really, really needs. And that is a big, big shtick. It's not a poshita thing at all. Let's take, for example, where did he learn it from? He learned it from the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Deimach soiroi, asher yechsar loy. And what's the example of that which is missing to that person? What's the example the Gemara gives? The outstanding example of that? Afilu? Sus lirkoi ve'eved loritz lefonov. This person was very well to do and used to have a chauffeur driven Rolls Royce, and now the straw were falling on hard times. So yechsaloi, you should give him that. So the question is, do I have to give him a Rolls Royce and a chauffeur? What about all the people who need food? I can't give them. The answer is no. Your priorities in tzedakah will not necessarily allow you actually to go to do that, because there's other priorities. And relative to people who need clothing and food, it's very, very far down the list. So what's the Gemara trying to say? Actually, yechsaloi, I'm mechuyev to give them that. If a person comes to the gabbat tzedakah and says, "Can I have my chauffeur and Rolls Royce?" The gabbat tzedakah will say, "No, never mechuyev to give them that." I don't. Even with a well-funded tzedakah, I'm not sure that a gabbat tzedakah is mechuyev to give such. So what's the Gemara really trying to say? Asher yechsaloi, give them this. So Rav Shlomo Volbe says, here's a person who has fallen on hard times. They've gotten used to the moving out the big house. They've gotten used to not being financially independent. They've gotten used to not being the one everyone's like the bee and the honey pot. Everyone says, oh, so and so. They've gotten used to that. It could be to this person, the thing that really bothers them is the fact that they have to walk to the shops and back and carry the shopping bags. Why? Why does this bother you? And the answer is because that's what bothers them. That's what this person experiences, feels their change in matzav most in this nekuda. Why? Because that's this person. So now to the outside observer, they'll say, "A chutzpah, you're such a chutzpah. Look at all the starving people in Africa. How dare I feel bad about my puny, tiny little situation when there's so many massive tsaras in the world? There's thousands of people being killed in Syria. There's the starving people of Africa. There's all the downturn in the economy and azoy. Why am I allowed to feel my tiny little, my little crank?" And the answer is, of course you are, because this is what matters to you. And yechsaloi means that the one who is a goymel chesed will at least be yoyred ledatoi to each individual and understand this bothers that person and at least sympathize with them for that. I might not be able to help you, but at least I can understand your nefesh. And it means to get into the heart of each person and understand them for what they are and the very least to sympathize with people. But it's much, much more than that. Sometimes somebody comes asking for one thing and really they mean something else. In medicine, I think there's a phenomenon where pain is often not where it hurts over here. It's what's it called?
Referred pain.
Referred pain. It's a bone or a nerve somewhere else, but the effects are being felt over here. It's not the real issue. So somebody comes and they're asking for something. Really, it could be all they want is somebody to talk to. some moral support. They don't need anything from you. They'll find their own answers. They just need somebody to schmooze to. They just need, or they're asking for this, and really they need advice. So to yechsa loy is a chokhmah. To find out what the person really wants is an art of gemilas chasodim. Halavai, we should have time. It's so hard. There's so many demands. There's no time. But once in a while, to actually be yored l'sof da'ito to someone is a very big thing. I'll end off with two little stories. I've told you both of them, so if you remember it, good. Otherwise, never mind. The first one is of Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan Spector on Erev Pesach. So the kavanah of this person came into him as he was sitting with his talmidim answering Shaila's Rebbe, can I use milk for arba kosos? So he said, milk for arba kosos. He opened up his drawer and said, go buy some wine. And he took out a big sum of money, massive sum. So the talmidim said, Rebbe, so much money for wine. So he says, if he's drinking milk, punish inflation. In other words, that's the machsoirash yachsala. He's not even asking for that. But this person, and this is the gemilas chasodim running after gemilas chasodim. Running after gemilas chasodim doesn't necessarily just mean dafka to go find it, but even when it's come to you, you have to run after what's really, really going on. That's also the mental, the mind running after, digging into, not just being saying, okay, this is what you asked for, here it is, to find out what the real Gemilas Chas issue is. So here's a funny story. I've said this over, it's very funny. When I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, there was a lady who used to live near the yeshiva, who used to love bringing cake and cold drinks to the yeshiva, to the dining room. It was proper tchis amazim. In those hot days, those freezing cold drinks, it was mamish gewaldig. So I came to leave Eretz Yisrael, and the taxi was waiting. I'd intended to go say goodbye to it. It didn't happen. The taxi came. I'd loaded my luggage, and I said, you know what? Just wait a minute. Put the meter on. I've got to go say goodbye. So I went to her. I ran up the stairs, and I knocked on the door. I said, I want to say thank you. I'm going home to England. She said, you're going home? You're going to eat? You're traveling? Wait. I have to give you cake. I have to give you some cake. So I said, no, I'm overweight and my luggage is also overweight. I'm going home to England. I can't, no room to take anything. I'm giving you cake. You stay there. Cake is on the way. So she came up with this big silverfoil thing full of cake. And she said, here you are, Chaim Olashon. So had I had my head on my shoulders, I'd have left it in the taxi and said, here you are, taxi driver, have cake. But I didn't. I was in a rush, and as one is sometimes when one travels to the airport, I was in a hurry. So I dashed into the terminal, and I put this silverfoil container in the first bin I could find. So Mamisha Bal Tashlich, but that's what happens when you're not thinking. And within 2 seconds, the place was surrounded with security officers. What's this metal container in this bin over here? I said, try eat it, see if you blow up. So what's the point? What's the punchline? The punchline of the funny story is that chesed is not what you want to do to the other person. It's what the other person really needs. And sometimes the other person really needs you to not to do what you want to do. So there's the day machsoir ashiach salai, and that's the running after chesed in the mental sense, in understanding what people really need. And we should take a chizuk and have lots of avas chesed. Thank you.